I left my heart. High on a hill, it calls to me
to be. Welcome to another edition of Check 1-2 on Aspen Public Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Shaw, and that was the unmistakable voice of Tony Bennett, who will be capping off this year's Jazz Aspen Snowmass June experience on June 28th at the Benedict Music Tent. Tony Bennett isn't here in the studio today, but he wouldn't be coming to Aspen at all were it not for Jazz Aspen founder and president Jim Horowitz, who is here. Jim's going to give us a lowdown on this year's summer music, which is just loaded with talent, and speaks to his talent in getting the biggest names in jazz and the up-and-comers to come to town. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Daniel. It's good to be here. Good to be at KJAX.
And here we go again with summer.
Can't believe it. Just keeps coming back, but that's a good thing.
Now, this year's festival, I'll use that word even though we can talk about the moniker later. Yeah,
it's been a festival for a long time.
But I'm talking about strictly the few days, the 3 days.
At Benedict.
And right. then there's a week off, and then Tony Bennett comes back.
Correct.
To the music tent.
Correct.
And it seems to be there's a lot more straight-up jazz than last year.
Completely.
Which was incredible. With
a whole different musical. It kind of shot off in a different direction last year.
And how did you decide to mix that up? How did that happen?
This year really is a more, if we could say, typical of what the history of the June event has been. Tony Bennett was there in 2003. Steve Winwood was there in 2007. Dinah Kroll was there in 2007. These are artists that have a tradition of being part of the June event. Last year, we while there have occasionally been, you know, more harder blues or blues rock shows, typically on the Sunday night of the June festival, historically there would be, you know, I can remember nights we had Buddy Guy, we had B.B. King, we had younger acts like Trey Anastasio and the Black Crows. I mean, we had those acts, but typically it was just a Sunday night. Last year, honestly, we had started the festival, but we got a nice booking that we were happy with, which was Jackson Browne,
yep,
on the opening night. And then there were, in this business, it's not just we choose what we want, but we choose what we want from who actually is available.
Yeah.
And sometimes it goes in a different direction. And the one that was really kind of a surprise on its face, but then the show was kind of, it fit well at Benedict, actually, was Ben Harper's show with Charlie Musselwhite, who's a great harmonica player.
That was a great show.
So it was more of a blues. It was more of a blues rock weekend. So I would say honestly, that was more the aberration, and what's happening this year would be more akin to the JAS tradition.
And I mean, these are really some of the biggest names in jazz you've got coming.
Absolutely, it's an A level lineup. It's the kind of lineup that, as far as JAS June is concerned, we just go, well, put that in the bottle. But what do you really do to follow it up? In this country, in this music, it's a great blend of wonderful artists who've got tradition. I mean, especially, you know, Tony Bennett is kind of the last truly great link to the American songbook. There are many people, of course, today who are wonderful practitioners, but Tony is for sheer longevity. There is no one. He has no living peer,
right?
For sure. And you can see it in all his recordings in recent years, where he's done these duet albums, and all the pop stars of the moment line up for the chance to sing one song with Tony Bennett. He's a hero. And also for JAS, we have a lot of tradition with Tony Bennett. He was here for the first time in 1993, when probably almost no one who's listening to this program now maybe even was even here or knew that Jazz Aspen even existed or was anything. But in December of 1993, the then Ritz-Carlton Hotel was opened in its location, which later became the St. Regis, and we did the opening night event. I don't quite remember literally how we approached them. We knew the hotel was opening. We were just in the process of moving the Snowmass for a summer event, and we wanted to do something in Aspen, and we approached them and said, how about this? So Tony Bennett actually did the first Jazz Aspen gala in Aspen in 19 December winter event in the ballroom there, 500 people. It was a sellout event. He had just made his recording with the Red Hot Chili Peppers that fall.
That's right.
So he was suddenly in the news again and taking off, and we had him. It was a great show, and then we had him again at Rio Grande Park in 03, and we worked with him twice in Sonoma at the event we did there in 05 and 08, and now here he is coming back again for our 24th year.
So it's been 24 years, wow. And you've also got a ton of free music out on the grounds of the tent.
Yes, we started something last year that basically we call it the lawn party, and it's on the grounds of the Benedict tent. Basically what we do, the concerts start at 8:30, the headline artists, you know, Diana Krall, Steve Winwood, Tony Bennett, those are all 8:30 shows. It's not on the Bennett night, it's on the weekend with Trombone Shorty. Diana Krall, and Steve Winwood. And on those nights, the grounds open at 6, and we'll have two different areas, one on the west side and one more sort of on the south side of the tent, where there's a clearing, and we're going to have two great bands on each of them playing music continuously from about 6:30 to 8. There'll be a lot of food vendors, bars, and really a whole, really a festival atmosphere, and the music is free. Of course, the setting is great, and what's nice, and I'm somebody who's been here for a long time coming, and I'm a great appreciator of sitting on the lawn occasionally and enjoying music. In this case, you can remain there after the free music, and now along comes Diana Krall or Steve Winwood, and these performances are amplified. You'll be able to hear quite comfortably, and so it's a beautiful setting if you either can't afford a ticket or just would choose to do that. Some people just like to sit outside. Of course, being inside the tent with these kinds of artists is going to be a great experience. It's going to be electric atmosphere. But the tent the lawn and the lawn party, it's a new idea, and it just took off last year. I'm sure we had 1,500 people a night out there.
It was really fun.
And with food and wine overlapping this year, there's obviously a certain number of people in town who will be considering, you know, all the wonderful things that one could do on a beautiful summer night at the summer solstice in Aspen, Colorado.
And New Orleans is pretty well represented.
First of all, Trombone Shorty is one of the new real princes of New Orleans. I mean, his career is on a major, major upswing. There's no better way to point it out than the fact that he's now been anointed at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival to play the all-important slot, closing the festival on one of the two main stages, which was the Neville Brothers slot forever.
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 And the Radiators.
And finally the torch, and right before that. And so now the torch has passed finally and officially. Trombone Shorty is the guy. About this, besides the fact that he's a great New Orleans artist, going back, I can remember at the Benedict Music Tent in 1992, in the second year of Jazz Aspen, we had the Dirty Dozen Brass Band on that stage. I remember it very well. And the first year, 1991, we had the Soul Rebels Brass Band, and we did a parade right down there from the fountain. Right around the mall. This was 1991. So we had a New Orleans connection from the beginning. And then Trombone Shorty, when he was a kid, came out to our summer JAS Academy and studied here and performed when he was, a teenager, but was already marked for greatness. And he, let's not forget, we had him 2 years ago in the summer of 2012 on the main stage in Labor Day.
Right.
He opened for Mumford & Sons, which is a fantastic fantastic show. And so we have history with Trombone Shorty. It's great. But this is his first headline slot. So it's not, that's the way you hope it goes in the career of a young artist. Diana Krall is a case in point. We had Diana Krall in 1997 at the Silver Tree Hotel Cabaret Room. How about that? Were you there? I don't think so.
No, it's not there.
Unbelievable. No. She was just starting to come up. She came and was part of our summer program at that time with the Monk Institute. She performed, she taught, and 2 years later, she opened for Ray Charles in 1999 at our tent in June, and then the next year she headlined, and she's been a headliner ever since.
I was going to say, and she's not budged from level.
She's in a very, very small, rarefied group of jazz vocalists, artists, instrumentalists who have a sort of a platinum pop reputation. You know, it's just they've had that kind of major breakthrough exposure.
Almost blue, almost doing things we used to do. There's a boy here and he's almost you, almost. All the things that your eyes once promised, I see. Now your eyes are red from crying. Almost blue.
And she's also just, she's grown tremendously as an artist. She's just grown. She's grown as a piano player. She's grown in every way. And she's also, she's grown a lot, I know, since she's had her kids. Her last show in Aspen was the night before she announced to the world that she was pregnant with twins with her husband, Elvis Costello. It was the night, it was the next morning. Yeah, right there in the paper.
And how is it dealing with Steve Winwood?
Steve Winwood is a prince. And, you know, he's an earl or something, and he's got one of those official, you know, like being knighted, but he's Scottish. He is really a prince to deal with. He's just a gentleman. He's obviously a world-class artist. One question that I've been asked a lot along the way is, well, you know, what was the best show you ever heard? And which is sort of on its face almost impossible. It's impossible to answer, but I always answer without hesitation. Well, one of the, you know, you could argue, but certainly one of the top two or three was this show that Steve Winwood did in Aspen in 2007 at Rio Grande Park. I mean, it was like a transcendental experience. He levitated. The place floated. It was a magical show because you had this great band, and in the setting of a jazz festival, he really felt he unleashed them, and but in a good way. I mean, basically what he did was he just allowed the band to shine and for the arrangements to be longer than a tighter, more, you know, maybe just straight punchy, here's the song, we're in and we're out. And he has a songbook, you know, it's song after song after song that are so great.
been, of course, a lot of that traffic material is free form and lends itself to
yes.
that
yeah.
so well.
And he had the band for it. Great guitar player, I remember, unbelievable percussionist, other singers, other horns. He's just a super professional. He's great to work with, and we're ecstatic that he's coming. He's pretty much one of those artists that almost has a, anytime you could fit us in, just let us know. You know, the odds are always 365-1 against us for every because it's fixed dates. You know, the odds of it working out are always difficult. But he's you know, he's definitely still working, and he's in great form. You know, his voice is in great form, and his playing is in great form, and he has a great relationship with Jazz Aspen and another artist that we had in Sonoma in the project that we did there. So he knows us well, and he knows that if we're doing a show with him, there's going to be a great audience there, and the sound is going to be right, and the reception here is great. So it's a show that you can't pick a better closing night show than Steve Winwood and the Benedict Inn. I mean, for us in June, it won't, you know, we can't.
Right.
We can only dream of bigger nights than that.
And was this a conscious decision this year, or was it? Did Food and Wine to overlap with Food and Wine
no,
on anyone's part, or did
no,
that just happen?
No, it's just it's a quirk of the calendar. The calendar from year to year, it changes by one day. And then, for example, this year, Labor Day weekend is August 29 to 31, but next year it will go back to September 5 to 7. So the calendar floats, and it has to do with the number of weekends and with us overlapping Food and Wine. The last time it happened was 5 years ago. Since the music festival, you know, shortened their season, remember that happened a
yes.
few years ago, and then we moved into that week, which is basically the last weekend of June before they open on whatever that Monday is. But that date can shift, and it does a little bit from year to year. Next year we'll get later. So no, it was not a conscious decision. It was just Food and Wine, I'm sure, did their calendar out 10 years.
Right.
10 years ago, and or 5 years ago, and we were talking about it once Jazz Aspen moved back into the Benedict Tent. But actually, we were very conscious of the fact that once the music festival shortened their season from 9 weeks to 8 weeks, that actually helped the calendar, because we were able to fill what for them was a softer opening weekend, and then we filled it. And then, but it was still the end of June, which should have allowed, theoretically, and mostly the time it does, for Food and Wine to be there, and then Jazz will be the next weekend. And that's how it will be again next year on our 25th, and for 4 years after that, so it won't come up again for a while. But here we are this year. We have a little pass called Only the Strong Survive, which we're quietly marketing out there. And as I said, I was describing this to one of our more mature patrons, who responded, well, I don't think I'm signing up for that one, you know. I don't think I could quite do that. Basically, you have to show up at all the Food and Wine great grand tastings and all the Jazz Aspen concerts for the downbeat. And then at the end, if you do everything, you know, first note to last, then you'll be eligible to be registered for a couple of Jazz Aspen VIP passes for Labor Day.
For Labor Day.
Only the strong survive. It's a goal.
Great.
You know, trying to make the best of a too much of a good thing
it's
situation. You know.
A little chaotic,
but you know.
I don't know. I think people might be
for a lot of people,
to show up.
A lot of people, it's going to be great. You know, I think actually it's the only people, for visitors, it's great. For some of the locals who participate in both, it's definitely like, oh, what do I do? You know, but am I going to be worn out? You know, I personally think it sounds like fun, and Food, Wine, and music go together very well. So I think it can actually might end up being one of those, like, God, it was more fun than we ever imagined, and we had such a great time. You just can't be in, at any given time, you can't be in two places at once. That's the modern dilemma, you know. Oh, well.
Speaking of other things going on, I know that the Snowmass Mammoth Festival is a week before
Food and Wine.
Food and Wine. Before you.
Yes.
I think.
Uh-huh.
That's sort of really ramped up since Steve Gumbel from Telluride Blues and Brews took that over. And,
uh-huh.
And do you see that as a complimentary addition to the calendar?
It's a very thick music calendar in the valley.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the number of shows that belly up you know, is doing is from a consumer standpoint, it's great. I mean, they've done a great job over there. There's a lot of shows, you know. We do a lot of shows. They're focused in the summertime around the two events, you know, late June and Labor Day weekend. And then what we do at the Jazz Cafe at the Nell is kind of different, but it's, you know, more shows. We produce free concerts with Snowmass every Thursday night. That's not a small part of the summer music calendar.
No, people
look forward to that. So, you know, I think that from Snowmass's standpoint, there's no question that Snowmass, and it started with JAS and continues, and then the free concert series, there was a decision made years ago in Snowmass that, well, let's go down this road, or let's see what happens if we go down this road of really trying to establish Snowmass and music as having an integral relationship. Very different, of course, than what was going on in Aspen with its music, with its classical Aspen Music Festival. From the standpoint that, you know, Snowmass has branded itself as a place for great music. I mean, Mammoth is certainly, there's some, you know, wonderful bands there. The former, you know, Chili and Brew Fest is just, you know, a nice summer event that people enjoy. I mean, it's, you know, it's all good stuff, you know. I mean, at the end of the day, I think the association is pretty clear.
Right.
It's summertime, there's music in Snowmass, and a lot of it. And this has been going on. It was just with a different name and a different location. So it's not different. It's just they've moved around and tried to tinker with the format and location, which that's kind of what the business of outdoor music events is, basically.
I've forgotten that you all were involved in the Thursday night shows.
Oh, yeah, we've produced them forever.
Well, could you produce better weather?
No.
Thursday nights.
There's been a run in recent years, I know.
It's unbelievable.
I know. That's a sensitive topic.
I'm sorry.
Topic, and no, we can. You know, we try, but we can't, you know.
But you did mention the shows at the Nell, and uh-huh. Who have you got coming this summer? Because I just want to say that I think what you've managed to do there, and I wasn't really sure it was possible in this town, given the sort of conservative nature of people's mm-hmm. musical taste, mm-hmm. to be honest, mm-hmm. you've gotten people to take a flyer. Mm-hmm. They'll go to those shows mm-hmm. at the Nell. They'll buy a season. Mm-hmm. They'll buy a pass for all of them,
yeah.
Knowing they may not have heard of the artist. They may not have even heard of the genre of music that
right.
the artist is playing.
Right.
But they know it's going to be a great show, yeah, and they will go. That hadn't happened before.
Thank you, and we've heard this, and we know that it's probably the biggest signature of the success of the program, that it's gotten this reputation. What people say is it's the greatest. I heard the greatest band that I never heard before. Nothing makes us feel better, you know. That's like, it means that we're on the right track. But, you know, going back to Snowmass and the Cabaret Room, we always had an interest in finding ways to put good musicians into small settings, and we've done a lot of it off camera, if you will, over the years with our donors, where house parties and events like that. But with, in our case, a jazz artist or a singer, as opposed to a string quartet, which would be what the music festival would do, or opera, or whatever it might be. We've had experience with connecting people with music in small settings. This is just something that was an outgrowth of many different settings that we had used in Aspen, trying to respond to what we perceived to be a gap in our own programming, where, yes, at the June event, we can mount, for Diana Krall and Tony Bennett, you can fill 2,000 seats in a small town, but you really need a lot of star power to fill 2,000 seats in a town where the population is 5,000. So yeah. This is a whole different animal. This is an intimate room where we can suddenly, you know, program great, great artists, but who are comfortable in venues like this. There's a whole world of music. There's a great deal of variety. So anyway, let me give you a couple of highlights of what's coming up this summer. Two shows on either side of the Right Around Ideas Fest. So just in your mind's eye, the first one opening the season, Renee Marie, a great, great vocalist who's doing a tribute to the amazing singer, entertainer, activist Eartha Kitt. The show is called I Want to Be Evil. It's played all over the country at New Orleans Jazz Festival, Jazz at Lincoln Center. It's getting rave reviews. If you liked, or if you know Eartha Kitt, she was Catwoman. That was part of her, you know, she did many different things. Great entertainer, a great, great songbook. Blues, jazz, very, very sexy, very engaging. It's going to be a great show. That's June 26, 27. July 2 and 3, a singer that we've had here numerous times, Turney Sutton, great jazz singer, who's doing a tribute to the music of Joni Mitchell that is absolutely fantastic. It's called After Blue. Then a few days after that, the multi-Grammy-winning Latin jazz conguero Poncho Sanchez. He's been on the main stage of our Labor Day weekend. He played before the Neville Brothers on Labor Day weekend. He played in June before Earth, Wind, and Fire on big stages. He's played on our June main stage twice. So to have him in a club with 120 people is an embarrassment of riches.
Now, I've seen him at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah,
20,000
he's
people.
Exactly. So it's really... And by the way, Spyro Gyra said the same thing, 37 years on tour, and they said that the Jazz Cafe was the smallest room they had ever played. And we just thought that was like the greatest compliment that you could be paid. So, and then there's a few more. We have a great Gypsy, a music of Django Reinhardt, the New York Django Reinhardt Festival. It's been going at Birdland for 10 years. It's a great, all French musicians, beautiful stuff. And then we're bringing back Monty Alexander, who had one of our earth-shaking shows here, Jazz Meets Reggae. The Harlem Kingston Express, two bands side by side, one jazz, one reggae. Absolutely amazing. That's going to be the weekend that the Art Museum opens, actually, August 8th and 9th. And then the season closes with the great John Pizzarelli, the wonderful jazz pop singer, vocalist, guitarist. Good season.
That is a good season. Yeah. And with that, I'll let you wander back down the hall.
Okay.
To your office. And you've been listening to Check 1-2 on Aspen Public Radio. I've been talking with Jim Horwitz, founder and president of Jazz Aspen Snowmass, and we've been talking about the June dates at the lineup at the Benedict Music Tent, and also about the upcoming shows at the Jazz Aspen Cafe at the Little Nell that'll be going all summer. And just get out and see as many of these shows as you possibly can. Thank you.
Thank
Have
you.
A great day.
Of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started to hum. Still, it's a real good bet. Best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come, babe, won't it be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway.
Wait till our lips have met.
Wait till you see that sunshine day.
You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't that be fine?
The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Come the day you're mine.
Come the day you're mine. I'm gonna teach you to fly. We've only tasted the wine. We're gonna drain the cup dry.
Wait till your charms are ripe for these arms to surround. Shuddle buddy, you do.
You think you've flown before, but you ain't left the ground.
Wait till you're locked in my embrace.
Wait till I draw you near.
Wait till you see.